Israel, and they're newlyweds too, fairly newlyweds, and so we're excited to have them here tonight. And we're going to just stand this evening, and we're going to start this service off in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. It is an honor, Lord, to be here to worship you tonight. We pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon Brother Matthew tonight as he brings forth the word of the Lord. We pray, God, that your spirit would flow through this place and that the needs that are here, that you would be able to meet those needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated if you're a guest of ours, whether you're joining us online this evening or here in person. It's so great to have you visiting with us tonight. And we just want to connect with you. So we have in our vestibule, we have a little connection card that we'd like for you to take and fill out if you would like to do that. And I think they have a small gift for you. And I'm not for sure what that is. I think it might be a gift certificate or something to Starbucks or a trip for four to the Dells or Disney, or I don't know what it is. I always joke about that. Nobody runs back there to. So we have a small gift for you, and we just want to be able to take and connect with you. And also we have a Father's Day offering. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. So we have a special offering for Father's Day, and we have a video promo that they're going to play for us now.
Before we unveil our National Men's Ministry Engage offering video, I'd like to show you some of the awesome things that are happening here in the state of Wisconsin because of your tremendous support. We have provided $10,000 grants to two deserving churches, New Life Worship Center in River Falls and Gospel Lighthouse in Milwaukee. These funds will play a crucial role in constructing new facilities in River Falls and restoring the damage caused by a drunk driver in Milwaukee. Engage Offering has also made a significant impact by providing men's ministry startup kits to every new North American Mission Church in Wisconsin and equipping existing churches with the empowering message of the Foolproof Man curriculum. Furthermore, our fund supports the Winter Men's Conference, the Summer Men's Camp, and 10 additional section events throughout the state, fostering fellowship and growth among our men. I invite you to join us this Father's Day as we continue to empower Wisconsin men and strengthen our community of men. Together, we can make an extraordinary difference. Our men are vital and valuable in the kingdom of God. We ask every church and every man to engage with us. Our 2023 goal is $80,000. And now for our national promo video.
Engage. Calling apostolic men to put their hands in the harvest, both locally and nationally, through their time, talent, and treasure. Engage to make a lasting impact through various partnerships such as North American Missions, Global Missions, Children's Ministries, and many other avenues through which men can bring their gifts to the kingdom table. Engage, the UPCI Men's Ministries Father's Day offering, which provides funds to underwrite operational expenses at Home International Orphanage in Guatemala. Your giving provided a new truck for Lighthouse Ranch for Boys in Louisiana. A group of men from Nashville traveled to Oneida to finish a church building for Pastor Virgil Gibson, giving them a $1 million worship center in the poorest city in the state of Tennessee. In addition to these amazing projects, there are new wells in West Africa and Kenya, providing clean water through the ministry of Seed Springs. And when tragedy strikes, your giving provides funds to reach out America for families and communities in need. The 2023 Father's Day offering provides resources for your district's men's conferences, as well as man-to-man evangelism in your church through the Dominion Bible Study for Men, available in book and video format. Each video is available free for download at our website and YouTube channel. We invite you to bless the ministry that blesses our men and make a lasting difference in the kingdom of God. Join our continuing efforts to build better men and grow greater churches. Learn more today at upcimen.com.
Many of you know Brother Jerry Simmons is our district men's coordinator. And he's also our men's ministry leader here. And we had a Sunday evening service here with our men's ministry, and we had a tremendous service. Brother Marvin Remvick spoke, and Brother Caleb Wells spoke. And I just want to encourage you men, if you can't make it to every one of them, try to make it to as many of them as you can, because I like what they said there. Bring something to the table. And we got a great men's group here. So we have our giving options. If you'd like to take and give in an offering here at Calvary, we have out in the vestibule, we have a kiosk, and it's got a clear plexiglass box. You can dump your offering into that. Or you can take and you can go online. We have, you can go on to cgcmadison.org. You can mail it in here to the church, or we have a mobile giving app. And if you don't have the mobile giving app yet on your phone, Brother Phil Demas, and you're not for sure how to do that, maybe, we have a really awesome mobile app for the church, and it's just a great way to connect with people. So you can give that way as well. So this Sunday, on June 18th, it is Father's Day. So I'm excited about our Father's Day service. We have an awesome speaker lined up, Brother Derek Buchholz, and I am excited to hear Brother Derek speak. And he will be speaking and sharing with us this Sunday. And so we'll have a regular 10 o'clock schedule, a regular 10 o'clock classes, Sunday school classes, an adult Bible class at 10. And then at 11, we'll be honoring the dads. And make sure that before your dads get in here, moms are really good at this, dads not so much. Make sure that your dad, if he's here, he signs up, because we have some gifts that we're going to be giving away. And some of them are pretty nice gifts from what I've been told. So also coming up, we have July 2nd through the 7th. We have our Wisconsin Family Camp that takes place in Shawnee, Wisconsin. The services are both the morning and the evening. And we're encouraging everyone to try to attend at least one of the services. If you can make it up there for a day or two, that would be great. There's our campground. We have an awesome campground. And I'm so thankful. We're so blessed. It's a beautiful, beautiful 120 acres of North Woods. And if you say, well, I don't have a place to stay, there's dorms that you can stay in. And we've been doing a lot of remodeling in a lot of those rooms up there. And most all of them are air conditioned now. And if you say, well, how do I get food? Well, we have a dining hall that serves some tremendous meals. And you can get breakfast, lunch, and supper. And if it's after service you want a snack, we've got a canteen there that sells pizzas and hamburgers and cheese curds and all of that kind of stuff. So I just want to welcome you to that and share. A lot of us will be up there. My wife and I think we're at site 21. So if you make it up there, go through the campground and just meander in and have a seat and chat a spell. So we're going to start worship tonight, and God bless you.
by just one move, with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, if nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, if nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside. You get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, if nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. All my God, how great you are. How great, how great you are. Oh, my God, how great you are. How great, how great you are, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. My God, how great you are. How great, how great you are. The heavens are telling the earth how great you are. We are responding to your love. The oceans
It is such an honor to have with us tonight, Brother and Sister Yater. Now, I'm going to mention this first. You can just be seated for a few minutes. They have completed most of their projects as far as typically when the missionaries come through, they have projects and such. But there's one project that they're looking, that they have a great need for, is they, in Jerusalem, they have a studio that they're looking to finish. And how they have to do the ministry there is a little different than we do here because of a lot of the cultural issues, per se. Like Brother Yater can't go into Gaza and come out alive. He can go in, but he may not make it back out. But one thing that we can do is we can have podcasts and we can have a studio. So the studio actually acts as a pulpit, and he can take and proclaim the gospel anywhere in that region that he so desires. And it's a key component. And to do this and do it right, they need $30,000. So we'd like to help them with that. And if you would like to take and help with any of this, just when you write down on your giving, just make sure you put down Israel and studio. And then also, they have an online Bible school because they can't have a Bible school there. He can explain some of this a little bit more perhaps, but it costs about $800 a year to operate that online, and that is the fees and such to do all of the online and all of that such. So those are their two major expenses that they're looking to raise funds for. But we are excited to have Brother Matthew and Sister Kimberly here tonight. And he has an incredible, incredible testimony. And he's going to come, and he's going to preach to us. And as you can see, it's not any secret. He's blind. And I think this is the first blind minister we've ever had here. But it's excited to have him here. And God's going to do an awesome thing tonight. No excuses. God bless you, Brother Matt. And I'm just going to let him find me over here. And right in front of you, brother, and the pulpit. There you go. And I'm going to pass the microphone off to you.
Right here. Yeah, just making sure. Okay. Yeah, we actually set it on the pulpit. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Isn't God good? It's good to be in the house of God tonight. I don't mean to be so dramatic with this cane. I just want everybody to see it so that they know it's a cane and not a gun. You just never know nowadays. Amen. I had it in my pocket one day and while I was preaching, and security finally saw what it was, and they're like, "What is that?" And I had to just say, "Look, brother, don't shoot. I'm really a blind guy, and it's nothing to be worried about." Amen. And I know I don't understand why God called me, but my blindness didn't stop him from calling, and it didn't stop me from answering. Amen. Amen. And it's interesting what will happen if we learn how to put our weaknesses in the hands of an almighty God. Amen. God can do anything. Amen. If we'll just trust him and follow him, God can do anything. I mean, with anybody, all he needs is a willing vessel. Amen. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I do. I feel a little preachy. Amen. I do. Aren't you thankful for the worship team? Amen. Anointed. Amen. Presence of God here already. Amen. And, you know, God gave me a little bit of direction. It's one thing where he talks to me, but, you know, when we're getting ready for the service, if he doesn't give me some direction on what to say, I feel like, I don't even want to be up here and preach. But he's talked to me, and I'm excited. I want to get into it and read some scriptures, but would you be interested in meeting my wife? Okay, come on up here, Sister Kim. Amen. Isn't she gorgeous? Amen. There you go.
Thank you, everyone. It's been a pleasure to be here today and meet some new faces and be in my husband's stomping grounds, because I think he grew up here for some of his life. So I know he's going to share a little bit of his testimony, but a little bit of mine. He's been there for 7 years, and I got the honor to go last year for about a week. It's amazing what God does, especially in times where you're broken and you're hurting. So just a little bit about myself. In the past 10 years, I was married before. My husband decided that he didn't believe in God, walked out on God, and then walked out on our marriage. Fast forward a few years, I had a sister overdose accidentally on drugs. And then my dad got sick with cancer. And that was a time where God was impressing in my heart that I needed to visit Israel. And when you go through situations like that, you're like, God, I have nothing to give other than brokenness. But it's amazing how he uses that brokenness to change your life. And one of the first places we got to go to was an overlook of Jerusalem. And that's where God showed me a vision of the disciples giving up everything they had, following him, not knowing what to expect, probably never seeing some of their family and friends again, and putting that burden on my heart too, that I wasn't alone, that they had given up everything to tell that generation and next generation till we're here today, and it was my turn to take that gospel back. So that is my burden, and I wanted to share it with all of you, and thank you for having us, and I hope that we can minister to you guys as well.
I know, didn't the Lord do me good? I went to Bible school at Indiana Bible College. Amen, hallelujah. And, you know, if you go to Bible school, usually you build some good relationships, you should. Amen, and I built some good friendships. And some of my friends that knew that I was Jewish and that I've got dual citizenship between the United States and Israel, when they heard that I was engaged, they said, "Well, Matt, I guess some women will do anything to get Israeli citizenship." I know, could you believe they said that? I couldn't believe that. But, you know, I'm like, surely there's got to be some sort of typo, no? But I had to clap back in good Matt fashion, and I told him, I said, brother, you're just mad because I'm blind, and I still get better-looking girls than you do. Amen, amen. So, amen. I give honor to my pastor tonight. I wouldn't be here without my pastor. Amen. Aren't you thankful for good, godly, apostolic leadership in your life, in this church, in this district? Amen. I give honor to Bishop Grant and Pastor Grant, and thank you so much for Brother Demas, the opportunity to be here, and Brother Rossing, amen, the director for this section, fantastic job. Brother Raphael and Lacey, and allowed us to stay in their apartment over there. I mean, I'm telling you, I've deputized. This is my second time. I've never been in a place that was so nice, so full of food, so groceries, you know, hospitality, chocolates on the bed. I don't know that I want to go back home. I mean, I might just stay here. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm so thankful to be here. And amen. God's doing some great things. In Israel, we do have the Bible school. And, you know, we're trying to reach. We believe that a soul is a soul. And I may be Jewish and I may be Israeli, but, you know, I love all people. And I believe that the Lord does too. Amen. And so we're trying to reach Arabs. We're trying to reach Christian Arabs. We're trying to reach Muslim Arabs. We're trying to reach Christian Jews. Russian Jews, we're trying to reach, you know, Spanish-speaking Jews, we're trying to reach them all. And so when you've got people that are, you know, in the typical area where we're at, there's constant fighting and all kinds of things, and you've got to somehow figure out a way, be strategic in crossing barriers and borders and things of that nature. So, you know, we've got an online Bible school that is designed to do specifically that. And so we've got it in all types of languages and things, and so they can't come to us, but, you know, we can go to them. Amen. And so our goal with the Bible school is not just to say that we have one. Our goal with the Bible school is to train tomorrow's leaders today. Amen. And, you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my testimony and things like that. But I want you to know, you know, we've got about 12, 13 churches and preaching points is in Israel. We've got four buildings. Amen. God's given us revival. People coming in off the street, receiving the Holy Ghost. And even, other missionary, Sean Turner, just baptized a colonel in the Israeli army in the IDF just a couple of weeks ago. Amen. Don't tell me God can't reach. Amen. Don't tell me he can't fill with his spirit and change lives. Amen. Amen. Even the army's getting baptized. Hallelujah. Amen. God can do anything. I want to look at some scriptures tonight. Is that okay? Amen. It's one thing for me to, you know, do you all stand for the reading of the word around here? Is that all right? Amen. I might be a little bit too formal, but this is the word of God. If I fail everything else, the word of God will go for tonight. In Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the great projector lady, I apologize, but I've got a couple more verses I'm going to throw in there. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 says this, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Amen. Isn't it interesting that you're witnessing a blind man preach from an iPad? I'm not backslidden, I promise. Amen. But I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I want you to know that God hears your cry. He knows your sorrows. He knows your afflictions. He knows your bondage. He knows your struggles, your fights. Amen. And he hears it. Amen. And look what he says here, verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them. I didn't send my son. I ain't sending angels. I come down. Why? Because I want to deliver them. And to bring them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I'm going to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I'm going to bring them up out of that land. Into a good land. Into a large land. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And, you know, it's not enough. God didn't just come down to deliver us. He's got a plan and a purpose in our life. Amen. He's trying to take us some places. A large land, a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I think that sometimes as apostolics, we can get full of the Holy Ghost and think, well, here we are. We've arrived. No, there's more. God's got a plan and a purpose for our life. Amen. Exodus 34, verse 5. Exodus 34, verse 5 says this. And the Lord descended in the cloud. He came down. In Exodus 3, he said, I came down. And here it's saying God came down again. He came down and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. So he's not just proclaiming what his name is. He's proclaiming the attributes that are associated with his name. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. I love that word keeping because it's shomer. He's a guardian and protector of mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity, transgression of sin, and sin. So every single level of sin there in Hebrew is forgiven there. And will by no means clear the guilty. And I know that sounds bad, but hold on a second. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and on the children's children until the third and fourth generation. And so he's going to, by no means clearing the guilty. The context here is mercy. So anyone who's guilty, it's what the Hebrew says, anyone that's guilty of sin, of any of these sins, is not going to be able to escape God's mercy. So if you've got, if you made a mistake and you got some things in your past and you're trying to get past them, I want you to know there's mercy in the house tonight. And then it goes on to say, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation. The context here is mercy. Amen. And so it matters what you believe about God. Your decision tonight and forever, choosing God one way or another, has the ability to affect not just you, but your children and your children's children. Why is that important? Because the promise is unto you and to your. So it's not just an Acts promise, it's a God promise. Amen. Look what happens here, verse 8, Exodus 34, verse 8. And Moses made haste and he bowed his head towards the earth and he worshiped. That's what the revelation of God does. You know, when you experience God's mercy and his kindness and his love, it has an ability to bring your heart to subjection in a way that you've never known it before. Numbers 14, 15. She may not have it at Numbers 14, 15. I'm going to read through this really quickly. Now, if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nations that which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Verse 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according to what thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation. Sounds like we're quoting Exodus 34, doesn't it? You know why he's doing that? Because the people made some mistakes. They were on the cusp of inheriting their promise, and because they had a situation going on that they didn't understand, they were facing some giants, they were facing some battles, they were ready to stone the man of God and go back into Egypt, which God had just brought them out of. And God says, I'm going to destroy everyone. And Moses says, wait a minute, you can't do that, God. Because the people said, if you brought them out, you can't take them in. Remember, this is what you said about yourself. And then he goes on and says this. Verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people, according to the greatness of your mercy, and as thou hast forgiven the people from Egypt to now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Watch this. Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all of the earth shall be full of the glory of the Lord. And that's the direction that God spoke to me. I wanted to get to that point because God's got a promise over this church. His glory is going to be seen throughout the whole earth. Amen. Amen. If you need to hear from God tonight, would you raise your hands? God, we need you to talk to us, God. We need your spirit. We need you to move. God, I feel your spirit, God. I know you're reaching. I know you've got a great work, and you're doing a great work, but it's not done yet. You've got more. Amen. You want your glory revealed. You want your name revealed. You want your spirit revealed. You want your power revealed. You want your salvation revealed. Amen. You want us to know that you're not a God who just brings us out, but you're a God who takes us in. Amen. You've got a plan and a purpose for our life that you're bidding all of us unto. Help us tonight, God. Stir us up. Amen. According to your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me see what time it is. Uh-oh, I can't even see the clock. It's not my fault if I go a little late, is it? My wife says that's not an excuse. You've been using that every single. That was a lot of text, wasn't it? But there's a lot of truth there. And, you know, I don't know. what God is doing. My daughter has not been in church. And, you know, when I went to Israel, people told me that you're making a big mistake. You know, you're leaving your kids and Matt. And the thing is that when God called me to Israel, he told me, you go and I'll take care of your kids. And as soon as I left, my kids left church. They didn't want to have anything to do with living with their mom. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But, you know, you ever been to a place where you're just trying to do what God called you to do and do what God wants you to do? And it seems like you do that and everything comes crashing down. Nothing works out the way that you thought it was going to. Amen. You end up fighting some things that you didn't expect to fight. You end up seeing some things that scared the snot out of you. And so that's what's happened to me. And you know, and for the longest time, I know it sounds crazy, but my daughter was just, she skipped school and went to smoke some weed with some friends. And next thing you know, one of her friends is getting murdered, shot and killed. And she just up and left. And it looked like the kid that was got killed was actually robbing a drug dealer. And, you know, so she had the potential of being up for murder herself. And I'm like, God, this isn't what I expected. And here we are fighting. And, you know, the reason why I'm telling you about that briefly is because I got a text message from my daughter this morning. And she said, Dad, thank you. Thank you for following God and showing us how, because now we have a choice. You know, and I want you to know something. It matters what you believe about God. It matters what you know about him. It matters what you say about him. It matters how you follow him. Amen. And even when it comes crashing down and everyone seems to leave and you've got nothing left, amen, it matters what you believe about God. Amen. I never stop speaking life over my kids. I never stop speaking the promises of God over my children. Amen. God's got a plan for you. I know it doesn't look like it now. I know you're making all kinds of mistakes, I told her. But listen, you know, God is not done yet. Amen. God's got a purpose for you. And here she is crying, Dad, I've prayed this morning like I ain't prayed in years. Thank you. Thank you for standing for the word, standing up for the truth. Thank you for following God so that we could have a choice. And I'm telling you something, I don't regret making that decision now. Amen. And I just real quick, I know you're probably wondering, how in the world does a blind guy become a missionary? And then how and why is the blind guy wearing glasses? You don't mind if we have a little bit of fun, do you? I wear the glasses because it's as close to jewelry as I can get. Hallelujah. Hey, you got to get in when you can. I wear them because, like, my wife will park up next to a tree or something, and I get out and can't see it and scratching my face all up, so the glasses help. I could wear sunglasses, but I'll be up here like Stevie Wonder on y'all, and it's a little hard to take a brother seriously and you're doing all that. And so, you know, the truth is that I haven't always been blind. I had a thermos of anhydrous ammonia blow up about 18 inches below my face while I was in the process of manufacturing methamphetamines. So I was a dope cook, lost my sight when I was 20 in a meth lab explosion. You'd think that that'd be enough to make me stop. It wasn't. Addiction is serious. It takes you further than you ever intend to go. I was cooking dope as a blind guy, and my mom caught wind of it, called the drug task force on me, ended up going to prison in Illinois for several years as a blind man. And I am a little bit of a Wisconsin boy. My grandma, all my mom's family's from Rhinelander, Crandon, Wisconsin Rapids. Yep, hallelujah. And my mom was born in Kenosha and raised in Appleton, and my mom's dad was actually from around Racine, and we're all Jewish, had no idea. I know, pretty cool. And so, I mean, yeah, anyway, we could talk about it all night, but y'all want to go home, I'm sure. So, you know, ended up going to prison in Illinois. And, you know, my thought process was is that if I could cook dope blind, I could wash dishes. And I got to a place where I wanted to try to start over and do something different with my life. I was tired of the jails and institutions. I was tired of the drug addiction. I was tired of all that. And so we ended up coming to Indiana to try to start over. And my wife and I married the girl whose house that blew up on me. And, you know, we had a couple of kids. And, you know, to make the long story short, I was trying to go to school to be a drug and alcohol counselor. And I was home alone with the babies. You know, I'm not your typical blind guy. I chopped wood. I'm, you know, go to college, doing all this stuff. You know, so when it came to changing diapers, it's not much different than chopping wood. right? You want to do it at arm length and, you know, as quick as possible. And the ladies are like, you had no business changing the diaper if that's the way you think. But my testimony is a little bit raw if you can't tell. You know, and I'm just going to be real and honest about some things here, because if I don't, it'll leave more questions than it will answers. And I don't want to do that. The other thing is that, you know, people are real people. They deal with real issues. And the good news is that God is a good God who delivers from all of them. Amen. He has the power to help you overcome every single one of them. And so I want you to know the goodness of God. And so I'm just going to be real. I went to try to go to school. My wife went to work. I stayed home alone with the kids. 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. And then one day I was home and I sat down in a chair right next to my daughter. And when I did, I sat on the bottom part of her leg. And we took her to the hospital. I ended up arrested for battery on a minor and neglect of dependent. And the hospital diagnosed her with a broken leg. No bruises, no scratching, no swelling, no splinting, no casting. But the orthopedic surgeon that she went to the next day diagnosed her with a skull fracture. And then the family doctor said that she had a spiral fracture in her leg. Bruises and scratches on her face, skull fracture. These injuries were consistent with child abuse. So I ended up arrested. The prosecutor's office, Bill Wargo Sr., accused me of grabbing my daughter by her feet and smashing her head off a coffee table. I'm not even capable of doing anything like that. And so I'm in jail and I'm looking at all this time. And I remember calling my grandma. My grandma said, don't take no plea bargain. Barb across the street says she's praying for you. God's going to do something in your life. And I couldn't imagine God doing anything in my life. You know, you ever been in that place you're just living? That's where I was at. I couldn't imagine God doing anything. And we had a paid attorney, and he talked me into signing a plea bargain. And the plea bargain he talked me into signing was for staying home alone with my kids blind. It was illegal, he said. It was neglect of dependent because she got hurt. And I'd be doing 15 to 20 years in prison. And I signed it because that was better than the 40. I didn't know what else to do. But I went back to my cell and I prayed and asked God. I said, if this isn't what you want to happen, don't let it. We go back to court. They take the plea bargain off the table and they take me to trial to give me every bit of the 40 years. And so I get depressed. The attorney says, you know, we're going to get found guilty. There's no hope for me. And just to be honest with you, you know what I did? I fired that joker. Amen. You got to have someone who's on your side. Someone that's willing to roll up their sleeves a little bit and fight for you. Someone that's willing to, you know, stand up a little bit instead of selling you out. By the way, welcome to the church. Amen. Well, you got people here that will roll up their sleeves. Amen. To help you, come beside you and love you. Amen. And so we fired him. And my thought process was, is that, you know, if he is representing me, I'm going to go to prison skinny because he's going to get all my money. But if I represent myself, I may go to prison, but at least I'll go fat. I mean, because I'm going to keep my money, right? I mean, if I'm going to go to prison one way or the other, I might as well go fat. You know, that was my thought process. So we got rid of him. And then, you know, months go by, and I'm on the verge of suicide. I would do 100 years for a crime that I committed. But I couldn't imagine, you know, losing my whole family, everything I've ever wanted over something I wasn't even capable of doing. And so there I am, and I'm on the verge of suicide, and, you know, I had this thought, maybe call your wife and tell her goodbye. So I did. I called her up and told her goodbye, and, you know, and as I'm on the phone telling her goodbye, a couple of apostolic jail preachers, jail ministers walked through the door. They'd never been there before. No minister had been in there before. Just out of nowhere they came, and they prayed for me, and, you know, I wish that I could say that I was able to walk out of the jail the next day. It didn't work that way for me. But the thing that did change is I didn't feel like I was alone anymore. And I want you to know something. You know, it matters what you believe about God. Amen. Because, if he's the light of the world, and we've got the Holy Ghost in us, and we're supposed to be that light, amen, we shouldn't be intimidated by darkness. We shouldn't be intimidated by hopeless situations. Amen. He's the light of the world, isn't he? Doesn't he set the captive free? Amen. I mean, if you knew that God had your back and he was going to answer prayers like that, what would you do for him? What type of boldness would you have? What type of darkness and hopeless situation would you walk into and command light there to be there and deliverance to be there and healing to be there? Amen. And restoration to be there. And so that's what happened. These guys came in there and said, Matt, we don't know what happened, but we know a God who does. Amen. We can't help you, but we know a God who can. And they began to pray for me, and you know, months went by. And you know, we fired the attorney, we had a public defender, and five more preachers came in looking for me, and I was doing Bible studies, and my consciousness began to develop. And I began to see a pattern of a God who always had a habit of showing up when people were in trouble, whether it was consequences that they, you know, deserved or consequences that they didn't, right? They would all have a similar pattern. They'd call out to God, and God would somehow, some way, step into their situation and save them. And I'm thinking, well, God, if you could do that for them, will you do that for me? And I'm in my jail cell. God, you know the truth. You know what happened. You know I'm not even capable of doing what these people say. If you're there, will you please help me? Will you please? I mean, if you're really God and you said you make the guilty innocent, what will you do for the innocent? Please help me. And out of nowhere, I mean, I'm just telling you, I heard an audible voice say, go get the medical records. Called my wife, and she did. She went and got them. And the hospital diagnosed her with nothing but a broken leg. No bruises, no scratches or anything. The orthopedic surgeon who diagnosed her with a skull fracture did so without taking any x-rays of her head at all. No CT scan, no MRI, no nothing. Which is what they would do if they thought you picked a baby up by their feet and smashed their head off a coffee table. And we had the x-rays. The x-rays were only of her leg. The family doctor who said she had a spiral fracture and bruises and scratches on her face and said that she had a skull fracture, he writes down in his records a phone conversation that he had with the Child Protective Services caseworker. And he tells her, I never looked at the x-rays. I only went by what the foster parent was saying. So he wrote some of the most incriminating reports against me without ever looking at any x-rays. And later we found out that that foster parent was trying to adopt our kids. And so even when it came up for time for adoption, you know, they were getting ready to, and I asked if I could talk to the lady, the caseworker who was going to adopt our kids out, and they got upset. Well, what are you going to say to her? I'm like, well, she's going to take our kids. At least I should give her some sort of peace of my mind. So you can imagine I wasn't in church yet. And so I'm telling her, lady, we know what you did. We know you can't. We know that that doctor gave you the information that he never looked at the x-rays, and you still turned over that evidence as though it was true. In Indiana, that's called obstruction of justice. You can't do that. And I told her, we're trying to have this investigation investigated. And I'm like, we may not have you thrown in jail, but we're going to try to at least get your job. And so the lady's like, I don't know about that. And the next thing you know, she leaves. And then calls my wife 2 hours later and says, hey, we're going to close this case. Can you take your kids back on Friday? Completely turned that whole thing around. And it took 2 years, but God brought me out of that jail cell. Amen. He turned that entire situation. Don't tell me, amen, that God can't step into your circumstances. Amen. I know. Don't tell me he can't bring you out. Don't tell me he can't deliver you. Amen. Don't tell me that he doesn't hear our cries. Don't tell me that he can't touch impossible. He can touch impossible. Amen. He can do a miracle. He can turn the system around. Amen. And he literally, it's one thing to say, okay, you can go free. It's another thing to turn the entire system around and say, we made a mistake. And that's what happens. And I did. I got out of church or out of jail, and I ran to that apostolic church. Next thing you know, God's filling me with the Holy Ghost. And I've been baptized in Jesus' name. And I did. I admit, y'all are crazy. I first come to church, y'all running around, worshiping, and you know, speaking in tongues. And I didn't understand until he did it for me. Amen. And when that addiction really did begin to just dissolve, right, the desire to want to drink and smoke just fled, amen, like darkness does from light. Amen. The power of God really does have the ability to purify and cleanse and make a heart right, amen. It'll make you holy. It'll change you from the inside out, amen. It'll change you. I mean, the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, but the long-term evidence is a completely changed life, amen. God will change your life if you let him. And so I did. I was on my way, and I couldn't help it. And then next thing you know, I'm in church a couple of months, and, you know, I had an experience with God. God wakes me up in the middle of the night, and he tells me, you know, I'm calling you to Israel. And it freaked me out. I'm like, okay, be it unto me according to thy word, oh God. You know, I'm trying to do the Mary thing, making sure that I'm not rejected anything. I want to do this right, you know. And so he's telling me, like Paul, you're going to go in and out of the Jewish community, and, you know, I'm even giving you an international ministry. And, you know, if you guys weren't surprised, you should have seen all my friends when I went to church the next day and told them. You know, and that was the biggest mistake I made, going to church and telling all my friends. I'd only been out of jail for a couple of months. You know, and by the time the lion tells the monkey and the monkey tells the bear, Brother Matt's the greatest apostle that the world's ever known. We're going to have the biggest revival the world's ever seen. And now I'm one of the two witnesses. I didn't even know what a two witnesses was. I didn't even know what an apostle, what is an apostle? And so, yeah, I don't know why it is that way. You know, why friends in church have a tendency to do that to one another. We have to ask Joseph, though. You know, we have to ask Joseph why his brothers threw him in the pit, why they sold him into slavery. But let's not dwell on that too much, because then we'll ask Joseph, how was it when God turned that thing around and your brothers really were bowing? Amen. When you really were leading a country like God said you were, what was it like then? Was the hurt and the pain worth it then? Amen. And so, and I didn't know. I wasn't trying to get back or be angry. I just knew that I understood. You know, what would you do if you was pastor? You know, you got someone just coming in out of the jail and they're called to Israel. They're blind and, you know, it's kind of a bit of a mess. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I love going to pastor's office. When we go to pastor's office, we're drinking Diet Cokes. Amen. We're going to haciendas. Amen. We're going to Subway and we're laughing and joking. I love going to pastor's office on my terms. I don't like going to pastor's office on his terms. Amen. Is there a witness in the house? And so pastor called me in there and he's like, Matt, what's going on? I hear you think you're an apostle. Let me tell you, you ain't. I hear you think you're a two witnesses. You ain't a two witnesses. And you think you're going to have all this revival. Well, let me tell you something. You know, and it, to be honest with you, it kind of hurt me a little bit. And then he goes on and he says, well, are you on drugs? Are you out there a little bit? You've been fasting quite a bit. Are you okay? And then he goes on and says, well, are you sure you don't have a mental illness? It was horrible. And I hate the difficult conversations that we have with pastors sometimes. And you know what? The truth is, I could have had an attitude and said, well, you know what, pastor? It's obvious that you can't see the anointing that's all my life. I could have been like, well, you know what, pastor? I guess since you can't see the anointing and the calling of God on my life, you're the blind guy in this situation. I could have did that. But the truth is, I really hadn't been in church long enough to have that attitude. I didn't know that you could. I didn't. But what attitude I did have is said, you know what, pastor, I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't do drugs anymore. I hadn't done them for years at this point. You know, I do fast, but I don't think I'm out there. Maybe I am. I don't think I have a mental illness, but what an embarrassing way to find out that I do. Will you help me? If I messed up, I need some help. Obviously, this is embarrassing. And then it gave me the opportunity to tell him my experience. I said, the problem for me is that it was the same voice in the jail cell. He said, well, what do you mean? And then I told him my testimony of what I just told you. And I was like, that's it for me. The voice in the jail cell was right. The voice in the jail cell told me what I needed to do to be set free. The voice in the jail cell brought me out. And then here he is. He's talking about taking me in. What am I supposed to do? Does not Jesus have the ability to open the eyes of the blind? Doesn't he call? Doesn't he restore? Doesn't he heal? Doesn't he change lives? Isn't that what he's in the business of doing? You know, saving a soul, cleaning them up, and then sending them out. Isn't that what his ministry was all about? And so as I begin to just talk about it, help me understand what's happening here. I don't know. And then we go through, and it went from being a difficult conversation to a conversation where he said, well, you know what? Let's see what God will do. And I don't know about you, and I think that sometimes, and I presented it to you that way for a reason, because sometimes it's not easy to go through a relationship with a pastor when we're feeling a call of God and we don't know, we're not real sure about past hurts. I've been in jails and institutions, foster homes. I don't know about leadership. It was very difficult for me to deal with that. But let me tell you something. It matters. Your relationship matters with the pastor. I've never seen anybody that's been successful in living for God that didn't have a great relationship with their pastor. Amen. We get hard and hearted, and we can't allow a pastoral ministry to be fruitful in our life. I don't know anybody that's been. And let me tell you something. You know where I'm at today? Today I'm in Israel. I graduated from Indiana Bible College. I went with no money. God provided all of it, paid off, walked out completely debt-free. Went and got a master's degree at MDiv. While I was there, God told me to prepare and go to Israel. So I went to Israel, got a second master's degree. While I was there, I ended up finding out that I was Jewish, had no idea. Rabbis brought me under their wing, took me into a rabbi school, been in it now for 6 years. They paid for all my schooling. They gave me scholarships for rent. They gave me scholarship for food. And I went with no money. I didn't have any money to pay for it. I had $1,800, and I'd been there now 7 years. And that was the only money that I took with me. And from there, I went on and got a second master's degree. Then I got a degree in teaching Bible in an Israeli institution. Now I'm in a PhD program. And not just studying, but we're doing cutting edge. For me to do the degrees that I'm doing, we had to be able to read Hebrew and Greek. And you know, back then, they didn't make Braille for those languages. But God put me in partner with somebody who did write software, and we wrote software that made those ancient languages accessible in Braille. And here's what I'm saying. You know, we won a big award, and Apple won it, Google won it 1 year, Amazon won it 1 year, and then your blind buddy up here won it 1 year for the work that we did in making things accessible for blind people. Here's what I'm saying. God knows how to make ways where there are no ways. And I'm telling you, God will tell you to go, and it doesn't make sense. And maybe you don't have it all together. Maybe you don't have all the finance. But for crying out loud, let's follow God and just see what he'll do. And I ended up becoming an Israeli citizen. I got dual citizenship now. Had no idea. I didn't know all that was going to happen before God told me to go. People were telling me, Matt, you're crazy, don't do it. How in the world, you got kids, da 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 da. You know what, sometimes, and the Lord spoke to me, you go, I'll take care of your kids. And don't worry, they're gonna come back and all this other stuff. And I'm seeing God do it. He's doing what he said he will do. And it makes sense because he didn't come down to just bring us out. He came down to take us in. Into a land that's big and large and good, and a land flowing with milk and honey. And you want me to tell you something crazy? I'm a citizen of Israel. Do you know where the Elkhart County Jail was? What city it was when God called me out of that place? Look it up. It was in a town called Goshen. And God literally brought me from Goshen to the promised land. No joke. Only he could do something like that. And so here I am, you know, and I'm in Israel, and, you know, COVID hit, and there was no one else there, and it was my time to shine. I didn't know it was my time to shine, but, you know, no one else was there, and the missionaries got locked out of the country, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to go stir up that church in Jerusalem, and we did it. God built that thing up to 20, 25 people in, you know, just a few short months, and then we baptized down in Tel Aviv area another 60, 70 people over the next few months, and it was just crazy. God's just doing all kinds of things. And you know, that's when people started taking the call of God on my life seriously. Then Global Missions, you know, they were supporting me with the program, but that was when they made the decision to consider appointing me. And so they told me, people told me, you'll never be appointed, yada, yada, yada. Well, here I am. I'm a fully appointed missionary to Israel. They said, you'd never get your license. Well, guess what? Not only my license, but I just got approved for ordination. You know, oh, Matt, I don't know. It's going to be hard for God to use you. I mean, everywhere we go, people receiving the Holy Ghost. We cast the devil out just on Sunday. Dad cast the devil out of a dude and saw God fill him with the Holy Ghost. You know, he's the one who does it, not me. Amen. Don't tell me God can't do it. Don't say that God can't turn your situation around. Yeah, I know it looks impossible, but he's in the impossible business. Amen. You know, and so, you know, I want you to know that this isn't just my testimony. It's my pastor's as well. You know, he's the one who helped me. He's the one who shaped me. He's the one that was involved in all of that. You know, and it's not just our testimony. It's our church's testimony as well. You know, they took care of me. They took care of my kids, changed their diapers and supported us, come over and help cook and do all kinds. I had, you know, sole custody of my kids for 3.5 years. And, you know, as being a blind guy going to school, it was very difficult. And ladies from the church would come over and cook and get my beans put on one shelf and then move them to another to where I didn't even know where they were at. But I'm thankful for the help. I wouldn't be where I'm at without the church is what I'm saying. Amen. I didn't get here by myself. Amen. And I know it sounds crazy, but God uses situations to reveal himself. I want to tell you two stories real quick. When I first got to Israel, I left my Braille display. And a Braille display is a device that connects to a computer and it allows a blind person to read Braille on what's on the screen in Braille. And so I left that in America and I needed it for school. And I called Brother McFarland, who was the superintendent at that time. And I said, will you please bring this Braille display? And he told me, no, God may be trying to do something here. And I was like, well, hallelujah. Won't you let me ship you the Braille display and you can bring it to me and then God can do what he's trying to do. And he's like, nope, God may be trying to do something here. And I'm like, you don't understand, Bishop. We'll have it sent right to your house. You don't have to do anything. You'll drive right by here where I'm at. Da, 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 da. And he's like, Matt, you're not hearing what I'm saying. God may be trying to do something here. I'm not bringing you your Braille display. And what I heard him say is, Matt, you failed. God's trying to get you back home now while you still have the chance to be able to do it with what little money you do have left. You know, you came over here, you tried, you failed, you know, you missed it. God didn't call you. That's what I heard him say. He didn't say that, but that's what I heard him say. And that's what happens when things don't go the way that we expect them to. The enemy will show up and just start speaking all kinds of nonsense in our ear and in our life. And I'm right there. I'm in the promised land. I'm on the cusp of walking into what God said he was going to do. And here I am. Now I've got an attitude. I begin to start responding emotionally. That's my diplomatic way of saying that I was going through the roof. So I called the secretary at the church, and we're really close friends. I'm like, Ruby, will you send me my Braille display? Oh, yeah, Brother Matt, I got you. It's going to cost $94. You've got $96 in your account, so it's enough to cover it. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. And so she goes to the post office the next day and sends out this Braille display. Calls me up. Oh, I sent it, Brother Matt. Hallelujah. God is good. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. And I'm dancing. The bishop was wrong. God is trying to do something here. Don't act like you don't do the same thing. Don't front with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then she goes on to say, yeah, and I even sent it free matter for the blind. And I'm thinking, free matter for the blind? What? Oh, yeah, I said a free matter for the blind. Hallelujah. And I'm like, Ruby, that's the slowest way to ship something possible. It's for blind people, and it's domestic. You can't even ship stuff internationally with free matter for the blind. I found out, yes, you can. It takes several months, but yes, you can. And she said, you're not very grateful. Click, and hung up the phone on me. And I began to respond emotionally. And so, I don't know what you do when you get mad and have a problem with someone in the church. I call pastor. I know, don't front. I know y'all do the same thing. But I call the pastor, Pastor, that secretary of yours, I know, she sent it free matter for the blind. Hallelujah. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, no, she's done a good thing, and he's taken her side. And I'm furious. You got to be kidding me. That's the slowest way. You can't even, oh, you should be more grateful. And I'm like, oh, I can't even talk to you right now, Pastor. I'll talk to you later. And then when I can't stand to talk to him because I'm angry and responding emotionally, I don't know what you do when you have that problem, but then I start texting. And so I'm texting him, and he texts me back, and then I accidentally flicked it, and I hit the dislike button. And then he began to respond emotionally. It was an accident, I promise. It really was. I can't see, you know. Not an excuse. I mean, it was what it was. And so I finally get to a place where I'm upset and I'm yelling. I'm in my room. God, I'm here. I'm failing. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh, I can't. You know, and then I started looking at every single time I had a problem with somebody in the church. Oh, they did this. Oh, she said that. Oh, they never really wanted me to succeed anyway. Every single one of them told me not to do this. Da, 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 da. And the next thing you know, in my response and in all that negativity, I've made the decision. I'm not going back to that church. Don't front. Y'all do it too. I just got the guts to stand up here and say it. And so here I am. And you know what? With Ruby, I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to be your friend anymore. And I'm crying. And the Lord comes in and starts speaking to me. And he says, are you really willing to walk away from everything over something that you don't understand? And I'm thinking, yes, I am. And he's like, really? And then he just starts ministering to me a little bit. You know, haven't I done miracles in your past? Haven't I done this? And haven't I? Oh, yeah, you have. And so God begins to start ministering. He starts helping me to get my focus off of the problem and on him. And I'm like, okay, God, you did do that. You did do that. Yeah, what am I worried about? You could get me a new Braille display tomorrow. Okay, fine, God, I won't leave that church right away. And so we go through this whole thing, and finally I get to a place, okay, fine, God, I'm sorry. I won't quit. I won't give up. Maybe I need to be grateful. Even if it isn't to them, it's to you. And I go outside crying and bellyaching. I'm sitting on a bench, and as I'm crying out there, wondering where my life is going to end up, some lady comes up to me and says, hey, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And she said, now, if I start speaking in tongues or some weird language, don't be afraid. And I'm like, okay, and sure enough, she starts speaking in tongues. And then she did that old familiar Pentecostal jerk. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm thinking, oh God, what are you doing? And then she says this. She said, you felt the call of God here, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I did. And she said, God has brought you here. And he said, there's nothing that's going to send you back. And I'm thinking, oh, hallelujah. And I couldn't believe it, but I've been here before. And then she reaches in her purse and grabs out 200 shekels, which ends up being $50. And I knew that was from God. And I'll explain that in a second. Anyway, that was Saturday. Sunday goes, and I'm devastated because now somehow I've got to try to be friends with Ruby, who hates me, and Pastor, who's upset because I disliked his message. And so as I go through and try to make things better, Ruby texts me on Monday and she says, your Braille display is in Jerusalem. Here's the tracking number. And I was like, really? I clicked it. Sure enough, it was there. And then I texted her back. Thank you, Ruby. Love you. Yeah, I never had a doubt in my mind, Ruby. Believed in you the whole time. And she makes fun of me. She says, every time I call Pastor, she's like, oh, you're going to call your daddy. So I'm responding emotionally, just trying to, yeah. Love you. And then she says, don't you even want to know what happened? And I'm like, yeah, I think I do. So I call her up. I'm never sending you nothing again. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, what happened? She said, listen, I went to the post office. The guy at the post office was retiring. He wanted to do you a favor. So he marked your Braille display free matter for the blind and stuck it in the overnight box. That way, you could have it overnight and keep your little $94. God was trying to bless you. And here you went, telling your daddy, acting a fool. And then that's when it hit me. The bishop was right. God was trying to do something. You want me to tell you what he was trying to do? It looked small because it was just a braille display. But you know what? God was trying to show us something, show me something. And he does. He brings through us through these situations, not because he wants to punish us or to see how we're going to respond, but he wants to reveal himself to us. Amen. And I was crossing over into a place where things were going to be very different. You see, in America, I had the church. America, I had all this. America, I had that. But over there, I wasn't going to have any of that. Amen. I wasn't going to have any of that support system. And somehow, some way, I was going to have to get from a place where I had this support system to God's support system. And God will support you in much different ways than man can or man will. Amen. God will support you when no one will. God will believe in you when no one will. Amen. God will call you when no one will. God will support you and lift you up when no one will. Amen. God will pull you out of a pit that everyone else has left you in. Amen. You want God to be on your side. You want God to fight your battles for you. You want God to reveal himself to you in your life and in those situations. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get me to be aware that he's the one that called me there. It wasn't anybody else. He was the one that's going to provide for me. Amen. It wasn't anybody. He was the one that was going to make it happen. Why? Because he's the one who called. And you know, God will do that. And you know, we do. We have to know it. We have to know it's him. We have to want it to be him. Why? Because there's going to be things that we're fighting, giants that we don't understand. Amen. Battles and walls that we're not going to be able to overcome. But God knows how to do it. Amen. And when we're fighting those things that no man can give us victory, we have to know that God's got us. He's called us. He's fighting. He's going to make it happen. He's got our back. And I'm telling you, no one likes to be dangled over the flame of faith. But we need it. And I could tell you story after story after story, but I want to tell you about this little $50 situation. I get out of jail, and it's my first time going to church. And I'm excited to be there. I walk in, and there's this little old lady. And she just says, first thing she says to me is, "Wow, you're good looking." And I'm thinking, wow, what? That's nice. And then she said, "Come over here. I just love young, good-looking, apostolic men." And I'm thinking, what in the world's going on at this church? And then she says, "No, come here. I've got $50 for you. Come here and give me a hug and give these sweet people, take them out to eat, the people that brought you to church." And I'm thinking, I'm so broke. I'm thinking, for $50, I'll give you a kiss too. And I did. I wake my tap, tap, tap over there and go to give her a hug. And she was one of those little old ladies that kind of had that smell. You know what I'm talking about? And I leaned in to give her a hug and a kiss on the cheek. She had those whiskers that was tickling me when I got close. You know? But I was so excited over that little $50. And I did. We went out to eat. And, you know, we ended up building a great relationship. Called her Grandma Barb. And listen, if you ain't got a Grandma Barb, you need to get one. Amen. Welcome to the church. Amen. Look around. There's a Grandma Barb somewhere. I'm not talking about the whiskers. I'm just talking about the love. Amen. And that lady loved me. Every time I turned around, she was, "Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, God's going to do something in your life. Hey, your daughter, hey, didn't she receive the Holy Ghost? Hey, your son, didn't he?" You know, she's praying. God's got something for you. Don't back up. I know you can't see it right now, but God's got your back. You just keep on believing, honey. Here's $50. And so I was excited, and I developed this relationship, and I got to a place where I needed some money. And I don't know what you do when you need money, but I call Grandma. And I called my real grandma, and she said, "Yeah, you can come over and work." And I'm like, "I'm going to go over there and boss people around, because I'm a good delegator." And so I get over there, and Grandma's met me at the door with a folding chair and bush trimmers. We go out in the back, and she sits in that chair and tells me which bush branch to clip, and it made me clip 3 bushes doing that, then rake up the whole yard. Then we had to go out in the front and rake the rocks out of the sod back into the driveway. "To the right, to the right." "No, Grandma, to the right. I told you, can't you do anything right? Pull your pants up. Nobody wants to see that." And I'm like, "Grandma, why don't you just come over here and kick this rock back into the thing so we can go inside and get that spaghetti you cooked?" And then we get inside and find out that she'd never made the spaghetti.
We having TV dinners. And so she's in a big hurry, so we go over there and sit down, and it wasn't even done. We're eating our mashed potato popsicles. You know what I'm talking about. And then she gives me my bill, and I thought it was a $100 bill, thank God. And I get my phone out because I could put the dollar bill in front of my phone, and it tells me how much it is, and it said $5. $5. Grandma, there's something wrong with this phone. Why is that? Because he keeps telling me that this is only $5. Boy, there ain't nothing wrong with that phone. Oh, you $5? That's what I pay. Grandma, this ain't the Depression anymore. Well, that's what I pay. A can of formula is $8, Grandma. That's what I pay. And I don't know if you ever get to a place where you get upset with just family members. And my grandma always mean to me anyway. She was, always telling me to pull my pants up to my chest. She wasn't happy until it was up there. She wants me to wear these turtlenecks, and if I didn't have a turtleneck, they call them Dickies or something. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, she had me wearing those, thinking I'm some sort of blind Steve Jobs or something. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to come back here anymore. And I get upset, and I walk out, and as I'm walking out of the garage door, making that decision in my heart, I'm not coming back here anymore. The Lord speaks to me and says that she only wants what's best for you. And that whole day, she just harped on me. Get out, do something. Get a job. Go to school. I know you just got out of jail. I know you're depressed. I know your wife left you and she don't want to have anything to do with you. I know you've been believing God, expecting God to heal your marriage, and she left anyway. I know she's pregnant by somebody else. But you know what? You can do something with your life. Go to school. You know, the whole time I was hearing her saying that, I was looking at it like she was harping on me. But when the Lord began to move on my heart, I began to understand she wasn't doing it to be mean. She was trying to help me. She was trying to help me understand, yeah, you may be blind and you may do things differently, but for crying out loud, you can work. Amen. Just do it. Get out there and start doing something. I mean, skills will develop. Confidence will come. Get out and start doing something. As I'm sitting out there crying and, oh God, I'm so sorry. Grandma, I love you. And I'd like to say I don't understand why God brings us through this, but I do. Amen. He'll bring us through these situations. Amen. So to get the give up out of our heart, to get the walk away out of our heart. Amen. To get the situations that we don't understand. You know, they have a tendency and an ability, amen, to rob us of what God wants to do in our life. Amen. If we're not careful, I was in Israel on the cusp of stepping into it, and I was about ready just to walk away and quit from everything that God wanted to do over something I didn't understand. And I remember, I'm here, and I'm thinking about, okay, fine, I can work and do this and do that, you know, and I had this attitude, but I knew that I was going to go to church the next day, and I was going to get $50 from my other grandma. And I show up, and sure enough, she's there. And I go up to give her her weekly kiss and a hug. And she says, Matt, is your grandma Dolores Yoder? And I said, yeah, how do you know that? And she said, Matt, I'm Barb Ward. I live across the street from your grandma. And if you missed it, Barb Ward was the lady that my grandma ran to years before when I was in jail and didn't know what to do. And Barb was the one that knew how to touch heaven, how to intercede. And so here, God did this great miracle after her praying for me. And I've been in her church. She didn't recognize me. I didn't recognize her. And there's God just, you know, she came home one day while I'm out there frustrated, not understanding why grandma's got me raking these dumb rocks. And then here comes Barb Ward from the grocery store looking up and seeing the fruit of her intercession. God knows how to do it is what I'm saying. Stand with me. God knows how to do it. Amen. And I, God knows how to fight your battles. I'm telling you, God doesn't just come down to deliver us. He's got a plan and a purpose. He wants to take us in. Amen. And even when we make mistakes, the revelation of who he is, God wants the whole earth to be full of his glory. And everyone under the sound of my voice, every single one of you have got a testimony. God's showing himself in your life. He's doing great things in your life. Amen. And God wants the whole earth to be full of this thing. God wants to use you. He wants to use your misunderstandings, your mistakes. Amen. He wants to utilize all that. All the times you took the matters into your own hands and made a mess out of it. God wants to heal all that. Every time you had a bad attitude and was willing to walk away, God wants to use all that. I know it doesn't make much sense, but God's got a plan and a purpose. Amen. God's not going to let us die in this wilderness. Why? Because his reputation is on the line. Amen. He came down. He brought us out, but is he able to take us in? And the answer to that is absolutely. Here I am, started one church, working on another one. Got a Bible school going. We're reaching people. I mean, literally got an international ministry. I haven't even arrived yet. We're just now stepping into it. And when my wife left and I thought it was over and there was no hope for me, you know what? God gave me my kid's Sunday school teacher. And he restored. He gave me a new wife. Amen. And that's what I want you guys to know. It's not a condemnation. I want you to know God's got your back. Amen. You can count on it. His reputation is on the line. He's brought you out. He's going to take you in. Amen. If he said something to you, if he's promised something to you, if he's put a call on your life, amen, all over this place, if we just take a few minutes, bow your heads, close your eyes, I'm going to ask a couple questions. Amen. First of all, if you're here tonight, amen, you've never received the Holy Ghost, you want God to change your life, amen, would you raise your hand? You want God to change your life. You've never been filled, you've never spoken in tongues, and you want God to do something different in your life. Is that you? Will you raise your hand? Okay. All right, what the next one? What about you? Is God called you? And you don't know how it's going to work out. It's too impossible. Maybe you've told some friends and they didn't support you, and maybe that discouragement was enough to say, well, maybe I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. Amen. Maybe you've got a marriage or a situation, a relationship you're struggling with. You want God to fight your battles for you. Amen. You want God to do a work. You don't know how it's going to happen. Amen. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You don't know how God's going to call you. You're scared. Will you raise your hand? Yeah, we've got hands in the house. Okay. And what about you? You need healing. Anybody in the house need healing? You need God to touch your body. I need God to touch my body. And it doesn't make sense to proclaim that God's a healer, but I've seen him open blind eyes. I've seen him open deaf ears. I've seen people get out of the wheelchair. I've seen it. Amen. The Bible says, pray for one another that you might be healed. I need to be healed tonight. So I'm going to ask you, I want to pray for you. Amen. If you need healing in your body, no matter what it is, raise your hand. Yeah. There's lots of hands. Amen. And I believe that God wants to heal tonight. Amen. This is what we're going to do. This is a family-oriented church, isn't it? And what I want us to do is just come down to the altar, take a few minutes and pray. Amen. The altar workers are going to come. Amen. Let's all gather down here at the front. Let's all do it together. Amen. Maybe you haven't spoken in tongues in a while and you need God to refill you. Let's all gather in down here. We all need one another. Let's lay hands and pray for one another. What we're going to do is we're just going to pray a little bit of repentance. Amen. We're going to ask God to thank God for what he's going to do. If you need healing, you're going to thank him for that. If you need God to fight your battles, you've got impossible, you got giants, whatever that is. We're going to thank God for doing it. We're going to pray a prayer of faith. God's going to come down here and move and touch, heal, and deliver tonight. You believe that? All right, let's gather in here. Amen. Altar workers, you know what to do. Amen. Let's just pray and ask God. Let's repent together, make sure we're right. Lord Jesus, amen. We have a tendency to miss it sometimes with our attitude and our circumstances, our anger, our understanding, God. Amen. I'm asking you to forgive us, God. Forgive us of our sins. Amen. Forgive us of our attitude. Forgive us where we've hurt people, where we've just taken matters in our own hands and our doubt, God. We've made it bigger than what it needed to be. I'm asking you to forgive us, God. Renew a right spirit in us. Purify our heart, God. Purify our hands. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy. That's what he said. I forgive all level of sin. Amen. No matter what you're fighting with, maybe you've got some sin going on. Let's ask God to forgive it. The secret place sin, God. Forgive us of those things, God. You forgive all manner of sin. You make right. Amen. Help us. Our children are watching. Amen. Our decision tonight has the ability to impact generations. Forgive us, God. Renew a right spirit. Clean our hearts. Purify our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. Amen. If you need healing, you need God to fight your battles, let's raise our hands real quick and thank God for what he's going to do. God, thank you
for coming down. Thank you for stepping into our situation. Thank you, God, for hearing our cry, hearing our sorrow, being acquainted with our affliction. Thank you, God, for being a deliverer. Thank you, God, for bringing us out. Thank you, God, for taking us in. Thank you, God, for healing me, touching my body. Amen. Touching diabetes, touching heart. Amen. Asking you, God, touch our bodies. Heal us tonight, God. Fill, amen, and fight our battles in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, come on, talk to him, your situation. Help me, God, with my marriage. Help me with our relationship. Help me. I want to answer the call of God in my life. I want to see you move. Amen. In Jesus' name, be healed tonight. By his stripes, we're healed. By Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. In Jesus' name, be set free tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's talk to him for a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus.
For the battle.
So very much, Brother Yater, Brother Matthew, and Sister Kimberly, for ministering to us in such a powerful way. God is so good. God is so good. And He has our best interest in mind. I love that old song, He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build a home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Because He promised, didn't He? It's a promise. It's a promise. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for coming tonight. And once again, if you would like to support, we will be taking on them as a partner in missions. And but if you would like to take and give an offering to their online Bible school, $800 a year is what it costs to operate that, or help with their studio project that they can take this apostolic doctrine, apostolic message, and broadcast it out all across Israel and into the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. So God bless you. Remember, Sunday morning, we will have our Sunday morning service, our Father's Day service. Shake hands with a brother or sister. Hug their neck. Tell them how much you love and appreciate them. Make sure you greet Brother and Sister Yater. And God bless you. Thank you to our worship team, to the sisters. God bless you. Thank you very much.